Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Is Stuart Hogg off to Montpellier for bags of cash? Is Big Brian off to Toulon? And we speak to Scotland Sevens legend Scott Riddell about his night out after winning the Twickenham Sevens. Here we go. Welcome back, lads. We had a week break last week, but we are back to chat all about Scottish rugby. Loads going on. On my right, there is Alan.
Hello, how we doing?
Very well, thank you. And Matt, he looks like he's carrying a big weight on his shoulders because Matt, congratulations, mate, a newly engaged man.
Thank you very much. And this time it is actually true.
It's official.
So rogue prank.
Mr. So and Mrs. Ramsey, you're listening. This is official. This is the official engagement announcement. So congratulations, mate. How are you feeling
Thanks
about
so
it?
Thanks so much. Yeah, no, it's really good feeling. Yeah,
Heather doesn't know, but he's just using the medium of podcast to
yeah,
propose.
Yeah, doing it via this, via our one original love.
Exactly. Congratulations to Heather as well. Thank you very much for coming back to us, guys, listening to us on Acast or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Despite there not being a pod last week, you have been chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Podcast. There's been some memes over on Instagram, Thistle_rugby_pod. And if you'll believe it, guys, we've actually had quite a lot of emails. We had loads of really angry emails the Glasgow loss to Southern Kings. A lot of people out there using us as like a sort of therapy, which I thought was really nice.
A couple at 2 a.m, people had a few too many whiskeys. Just
there seemed to be an awful lot of late night drinking going on after the Southern Kings game. A lot of soul searching for Glasgow Warriors fans. So thank you very much. That is thistlerugby@gmail.com. We're going to get into a bit of correspondence to kick us off in a second. But just to start, this is our second pod since we've been in partnership with the great guys over at Scrum Magazine. They're one of the best brands and in Scottish rugby media. Get onto their website, scrummagazine.com. You'll find the latest news across the amateur, the pro, and the international game, and the women's game as well. You can like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter as well. They've got issue 111 coming out at the end of October, which is going to be their full autumn international preview. I believe they are also hosting a lunch on the 3rd of November at Indigo Yard to coincide with the Doddy Weir Cup, which is happening at the Millennium Stadium. And they've got a big name guest who I'm not entirely sure if I'm allowed to tell you who it is yet, but they've got a big name coming down for that. So that's the guys at Scrum. Get on to scrummagazine.com and get all your Scottish rugby news there. Right, our corporate obligations are done. Thank you. As I say, we love your correspondence. How about this one on the emails from Jamie Campbell? He says, guys, my biggest problem with Scottish rugby just now is what appears to me to be a complete lack of on-field leadership. We have moved towards the idea of a collective leadership group, particularly at Glasgow, which is fine when winning. However, we see a time and time again, the Southern Kings, for fuck's sake, nobody obviously taking control of a situation that is going south. Glasgow have been consistently changing their captains from season to season and don't seem to find the right person. Also, after the success of your cashless payments campaign at Murrayfield, can you please get Domino's to bring back the double decadence? So, yeah.
Well, let's address the most burning issue there. I am going to start a crowdfunding GoFundMe page to bring back the double decadence.
I think we need the double decadence
already
back.
Done, mate. Did it a few weeks ago.
Jamie says that it is ruining Friday Night Lights and the rugby is bad enough. So why don't we start there before getting into the news? A quick comment on Glasgow and Scotland's possible leadership problem. Any thoughts?
I think it's fair enough, actually. I think if you look back to the Six Nations last year, particularly that Welsh match, when things aren't going to script, I think that Scotland and Glasgow do have a leadership problem. There's sort of an inability to react to what's going on in front of them and an unwillingness or inability to change the game plan.
Yeah, I guess if just reviewing some of the games, I can't think of a game in the last sort of 12 to 18 months where Glasgow or Scotland have been potentially struggling in the first 20 to 25 minutes and have managed to sort of turn a game around.
The only one I can think of is the France game in the Six
Nations.
That's
what I was going to say.
That said quite a lot for bringing back Greg Laidlaw into the fray. And the fact that he then moved to 10 later on in the match sort of helped things out a bit.
No, I think specifically that Kings game, you know, it wasn't like there wasn't leaders, supposed leaders on the pitch. You know, you had Ryan Wilson, had Pete Horn, you know, Tommy Seymour. But within about 5-10 minutes, you could tell it wasn't going to plan and no one was really leading that team forward. So yeah, I think it is a big issue.
And it's going to be one that we will keep on covering throughout the season, particularly when we get towards autumn international time. Let's have a quick skip over the news, and then we've got a great interview with Scotland Sevens legend Scott Riddell, which is really, really good. And then we'll talk about the weekend's results, and then we'll have a quick skip through from some Scots abroad, having a look at the Scots who are plying their trade away from Edinburgh and Glasgow. Starting with news, potentially a new man for the Scots abroad, Stuart Hogg. Lots of rumours abound of what he is going to be doing next season after the World Cup. Latest ones are the Exeter Chiefs. That was in the rugby paper at the weekend, and that goes on top of speculation in the French press that Montpellier are going to come in with a big bid for him. Matt, what do you reckon to this?
I mean, Exeter's quite a big surprise. They're not known for, you know, spending lots and lots of money on the sort of more Galactico end of the spectrum. But the more I think about it, I think actually if they do go for it, I think it'd be a really good move for Hogg. I think it's a club that, you know, they want to get their pound of flesh, but I think they'll treat him well. And I think he could sort of be like that spark that they need in Europe to do really, really well. And I'd love to see him sort of like playing in big European matches on that stage and showing what he could do.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw, I think it's Phil Dolman and Ollie Woodburn's, this is the last year of the contract. So whether they look at that as a reason to sort of shell out some big money for a big name back. And it probably would give them a bit of a different element to their game. You know, they are, whilst, you know, they have made big strides, they are still a very forward, heavy team. And actually bringing someone in like Stuart Hall just gives them sort of a different angle.
So you would sooner see Hoik's only Galactico going to Exeter than Montpellier?
I think so. I don't know if that's like completely fair, but there's definitely a...
What, him being Hoik's only Galactico? Or
no, I think that's very fair. but, you know, whether he would actually get treated very badly at Montpellier and not looked after, because, you know, the Premiership's still brutal and they don't really rest players.
And Montpellier's squad is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be Vern Cotter's final fuck you to SOU. He tried to do it with Russell last year, and now he wants Hogg.
But I also think that Exeter are a far better team and club than Montpellier are at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll keep an eye on that. That will not be the last we've heard of it. Another departure or potential departure to France. Big young Brian is being continually linked to Toulon. One of the guys that follows the French press on Twitter saying that it's essentially a deal done.
Done deal.
Done deal. Deal done. apparently he was at Glasgow training today, so I don't know what's going on there. Is it paperwork or whether it's just a bit of bluster from Bujalal?
I'm just not really sure how he even found young Brian. Like, it's not like he's Nakawara and he's like tearing it up week in, week out and playing in the Pro 14 final. Like, how many games has young Brian even played?
Yeah, it's a good point.
He was like, because they were like, oh, they're looking at bringing in young Brian and Milner Scudder. I'm like, what a weird combination.
He's
of
not
people.
An international either.
He's not, because he could play for Scotland.
He could play for Scotland.
It's just a very strange. I think he's literally just like been given a piece of paper with these stats and is like, that is exactly the sort of guy
quite
I
possibly.
Want. That's what I was going to say. I think there must be a database and they're like, right, we're looking for someone between 120 and 130 kgs.
Under 22 years.
Under 20.
We can pay him this much.
Exactly. Honestly, somebody must have that data and they're just like, it spits out young Brian and that's it. And he's looked at the photo, he's gone, are you sure he's only 22? That can't be right. But we'll keep, as I say, he was at Glasgow training today, so who knows? We will keep an eye on his move to Toulon. Glasgow's recruitment for a prop idol continues. It seems like a fairly significant signing that they need to make very, very quickly.
I think there was some sort of, there's a tweet during the rounds that sort of rugby agency was looking to hire a prop,
saw that.
And people speculating that it was Glasgow, which I wouldn't be surprised by.
There is like a 26-year-old prop currently playing in the Mitre Cup who will cover the course. They will find, they can find someone who is playing prop out there.
Yeah, surely.
Yeah.
That wants a gig.
That could just do a job for like 3 or 4
months. Or like a Georgian or something. That'd be quite good.
Oh, it'd be good to get Georgian.
Yeah.
Get something like that.
Some big, horrible
bastard.
Become
like a cult character.
Yeah.
We will keep an eye on that. The other piece of news since we've been away is the new Sevens squad has been announced. And as I mentioned at the top, we've had a really interesting chat with Scotland Sevens legend Scott Riddle. And we started off by asking him for his thoughts on that new squad.
Kind of core group's probably the way extended from the last season. We had Dougie Fife, James Johnson, moved from us to Edinburgh Rugby last season, and then we've had a few, you know, retirements previously before that, and then this season, James Fleming and Nick McLennan had moved on as well, but there's a, you know, a good core group of young lads in there now, myself included, and you know, it's just very much, you know, development focus for us at the moment with the Sevens. I think it's the largest core Sevens squad that's been assembled since there was, you know, about 15 or 16 of us 3 years ago. So it's grown a bit, but that's, you know, that's a really, really good thing, really positive. You always got to account for injuries, and you know, there's a couple of guys in there who are really looking to use the Sevens to springboard onto, you know, bigger, but I wouldn't class as better things. I would class Sevens as better 15s, but we'll not get too much into that.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It's good. Yeah, it's a development tool, a good development tool for the boys.
Yeah, it's a good party line. Obviously, there's the more experienced guys in the squad, like yourself, Jamie Farndale, Robbie Ferguson. But who are the sort of young guys that wants to watch? I think there'll be a few names in there that people aren't actually that familiar with, likes of Kyle Steyn and Mungo Mason. What have you seen from those guys?
Yeah, Kyle Steyn, you know, in the news a wee bit last week, he is captain of the Griquas at the moment. Curry Cup in South Africa, big, you know, ball carrying centre stroke winger, like big man. He came to play for us in the Las Vegas and Vancouver legs last year, which, you know, if you represent the Sevens, that's, you know, an international cap effectively. So really, you know, nailing his colours to the mast and looking to, you know, come over and make a real go of it in Scotland. He's a good lad. And then, you know, Mungo Mason, different background altogether. He was born in Scotland, moved over to, you know, New Zealand when he was two, and then played for Waikato region, Waikato University, I think the Chiefs wider squad, and then went and played for one of the pro sides in America. And, you know, again, like big, like physical specimen. Well, you know, fits a real profile for sevens as well as, you know, in the back row in 15s as well. But, you know, both good kids. And, you know, you're saying like Jamie Farndale and Robbie Ferguson, the, you know, more experienced guys, these guys are only, you know, 23, 24. So they've still got like so much rugby in them, even though they are experienced within sevens. And then there's, you know, younger other guys like Gav Lowe and, you know, Josh Henderson as well has come back from Nice as well. He's involved with the sevens, and there's Alec Coombs has come up from London Scottish, as well as some, you know, real talented guys who've been playing really, really well in the club scene in Scotland. You know, Harvey Elms, who you know, broke through so well with the sevens last year in the centre. He was going really well for Curry, Ross McCann, Sam Picure. And, you know, Niall Godsmart's come back on board as, you know, a full-time sevens player, having been, you know, with the sevens a few years ago, and then was sort of part sevens, part Melrose last year. But he's going to be a cracking sevens player. You know, he's really in my sort of mould, hard worker, great defender, good, you know, good over ball, and will just sort of be a real link man for the team. So, and then the older guys, you know, Joe Nayakavu and Jack Cuthbert as well. So it's a good blend. And it's going to be, you know, a good season. Took so much learning from last year because it was a wee bit of a roller coaster. There's some ups and downs and some real big events thrown in there as well. But yeah, the boys will be good this season.
Good stuff. I mean, speaking of yourself there, sort of what you say, is there a bit more experience? I mean, it's quite an interesting journey you've had into the sevens team. Maybe for the people that don't know, you've taken a bit of an unorthodox route. If you could just let people know exactly how you came to be involved and involved for such a long time.
Well, it's funny. This is like my 10th year of the sevens, which is pretty crazy because I was never, you know, like best in the year or whatever at rugby, but always just, you know, worked pretty hard and went down to uni in Newcastle at Northumbria and ended up getting involved in quite a lot of invitational sevens and uni rugby and a wee bit with the Falcons Academy. But that was kind of where I sort of, you know, found my niche with the sevens, and then played in, you know, Melrose sevens and Middlesex sevens, and actually won it with the Falcons. And then Stevie Gemmell, the coach at the time, kind of brought me up from Newcastle, and I commuted up for Wednesday night trainings. Then eventually got to go on a trip, and then it was awesome. I was really like thrown in at the deep end because I got to play in San Diego sevens. And then a month later, kind of got called into a Sevens World Cup because Richie Vernon managed to break a bone in his foot. So that was my second ever tournament, was a Sevens World Cup, which was pretty crazy. And then, you know, ended up moving back up to Edinburgh, worked for Midlothian Council as a rugby development officer for a wee while, went back to play for Stu Mel for a wee bit. And after about, you know, 18 months in that, and still playing the sevens, taking my annual leave to travel with the sevens, a full-time contract came around then, and then that's been me for the last this is my seventh year as a pro, but 10th year involved with the sevens. So yeah, I suppose a wee bit unorthodox, but quite enjoyed it. Been like some journey, a lot of good memories, and met a lot of good people, and, you know, had a good one, but still going, not quite retiring just quite yet.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, how much did it help when you were playing at Stumel to have myself outside you? Did that really sort of bring on your sevens game as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I just think that experience, I mean, I think that's what I'd actually put my whole, you know, career down to, that. Yeah,
I thought so, but, you know, good for you to say.
I think, Matt, we had a good game against each other, actually, up at Mabel Sevens.
Yeah, I do remember. There's a bit of aggro.
Yeah, there was. I know, it was a wee bit awkward for a time, because I think maybe thought I was a full-time pro player, and you think you kind of said, what are you doing playing in this? And
I did.
I've actually got a full-time job as well, mate.
I did sling some mud at you that day, and you got the win, so yeah, I didn't come across that great that day.
Was that in the final of Mabel?
Yeah, it was the final.
Yeah, it was. The St Andrews Uni team had been drafting in players from all sorts of teams throughout the day.
That is true.
But I have to say, that is a cracking tournament, and definitely, you know, something I'd be keen to get back up to, and try and try and defend that title that we won over you, Matt, that day.
All right. moving on.
I know you've obviously played sevens for a while. How have you seen the game develop since, you know, your first tournament in San Diego through to now?
Just physicality has massively increased. Teams are way more organised in defence. They put you under a lot more pressure now. Set piece, everything's challenged massively. You know, scrums aren't just a sort of lean on. Teams are trying to, like, get the nudge on the tight head, and line out's going to be pretty much on the money. There's no free ball. And then, you know, the kickoff is the sort of third set piece in sevens, and that teams will have strategies all across the field, that they'll have low kicks, high kicks, and then, you know, chase strategies from there just to try and win the ball back, because it's that old cliche that, you know, possession's king in sevens, and if you can keep the ball, it's generally harder defending than it is attacking, and you can be successful. But some of the athletes that you see on the sevens now is pretty crazy. There's some, like, absolute monster forwards out there, and some pretty, you know, pretty quick backs. But it's the guys that sort of have both are, you know, really really dangerous. Some of the centres these days are big, strong ball carriers with good feet, and, you know, teams will, you know, not necessarily keep the ball away from contact as they previously would. They'll use the contact to disorganise defences, or try and get two players off their feet to create overlaps, and, you know, just build pressure more in a sort of 15s context. But saying the other day, I think, you know, sevens at one point fully moving away from 15s, but with the, like, change in the breakdown now that tacklers to come through the gate, it's all about, like, getting over the gain line again, and it's maybe coming back towards 15s a little bit, I would say. So it's still, you know, massively entertaining to watch, and it's the tournaments are awesome spectacles, and some of the places you get to travel to are pretty cool. So it's pretty good.
I think probably one of the most exciting rugby games in sevens or 15s I've ever watched was when you guys won the World Series in England against South Africa in that final. Just how big was the night out in London after that win?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy game that we were kind of down and out. And we were, you know, I think there was 10 seconds left on the clock, and we'd just scored, taken a conversion, and then got the ball back. And then from kind of, like, South Africa, I think, thought they'd kind of won it. And then we came back and got the win. It was just an amazing feeling, and we just sort of carried that euphoria onto the night out. And what's it called, near Chelsea in Stamford Bridge. So we just went along there. I think there was a nice establishment called The Slug, and it was generally pretty messy. You know, it was something, boys are just, boy, to coin an expression, I think you're going to ask me about this later, but boys had the puggy right up, and we just fairly went for it and did what we need to do. We made some good memories, and just and had a good time, and stuck together as a team, and, you know, just I think boys are still going in the morning, really, but it was good fun.
Sounds great, and you have taken us to where we were going next, so thank you very much for that. We asked asked the fans on Twitter what they wanted to ask you, and friend of the pod and Glasgow winger Lee Jones came back and asked, could you define the word puggy, please, Scott? So you've set yourself up, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I was having to think about this, and, you know, I think it was kind of, this is, so basically we use the word puggy as sort of like get the puggy up, you know, get the get the buzz up, get the boys in the right place. But I think it came from a gambling machine. And if you talk about a gambling machine being called as a puggy, the puggy machine, you know, maybe you've won the jackpot, you got the puggy up, you're in a good place. And then it just seemed to get used in a team context, in that we'd have our hands in before a game and puggy up, just, you know, just rolls off the tongue. And I think boys have some fond memories of when it's been used in other contexts on nights out and stuff, and we, you know, it's just associated with sort of good times. And we've had people, you know, having maybe a bit too much puggy at times, but it just, it's definitely a positive thing, definitely a good thing. In the morning, sometimes you need a bit more puggy, and that just gets the boys going, get the tunes on, get the puggy up. Here we go. That's
I like the sound of that. Yeah. And sort of looking ahead to this season, what are the aims for the seven squad? Looking ahead to the World Series.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year was a frustrating one. We were, you know, one or two performances away from being, you know, ninth in the world, but we had a poor finish to the season in London and Paris, and I think we were, you know, something like 2 points. If we'd had 2 or 3 points more, we would have jumped up to 10th. If we'd had 5 points more, we would have been in 9th, but we ended up 12th last year. So, you know, it wasn't really a vintage season. The highest we've ever finished is 7th, so we're not, you know, we're not miles and miles away, but that series is so competitive now, so tight, that it's fine margins. It's cliche again, but, you know, we're looking to try and, you know, push back into the, you know, top 10 and getting more quarterfinals. That's kind of the aim, is to give ourselves more chances in the cup competition. With that, you know, you get more points, but we're finding the games we lost last year, specifically that fourth game on day two, where if you win it, you guaranteed 5 points in the series. We maybe hadn't quite made the quarterfinals on day one, but if you lose it, you're really battling to win two more games and you only get 3 points. So I think on maybe three occasions, we lost that fourth game, which puts you in a real nasty situation to try and go and get, to try and salvage anything from the weekend. And unfortunately, for, you know, one reason or another, we fell short in that particular game, which is a, you know, the most important game in the weekend, should you end up in that position. So I think it's looking for a bit more consistency, but boys have learned so much from last season. A lot of young guys playing their first tournaments on the World Series, and it is crazy quick, crazy intense, really physical. And then you top that up by playing three games on the Saturday, and then you have to get your bed on the Sunday when you're in absolute tatters and do it all again. And that's kind of, you know, the biggest difference, I would say, from players.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Scotland experiencing it and just building that, you know, bank of knowledge and understanding and what your body's going to feel like to then deal with it on that Sunday as well. So we'll be better this year. We'll be better this year. I guarantee it.
Great. I really like the sound of that. Well,
We'll let you go, mate. Best of luck for the rest of the series, and we're going to be keeping a close eye on it and cheering you guys on. So yeah, best of luck.
Nice one, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. That was good fun.
Matt, do you want to give us a little bit more detail of what happened at this sevens tournament between you and Scott?
Right. So let me set the scene. It was the further I played in the St Andrews tournament, my kind of local tournament, for 4 years. Had never got past the quarterfinals, and the stars align. Get to the final. We've got a good team. Got a few ringers, actually, including current seven squad member Glenn Bryce, and we're playing a team called the Shark Kings that have Scott Riddle in them, and things aren't going to plan. I fuck up a 2-on-1. Scott tackles me. I sort of pathetically hold on to his sock as he gets up. He says, "Nice one, mate. You fucked up that one, didn't you?" I say, I kind of lose my rag and say, "Well, at least I'm not a full Scotland Sevens international playing a student tournament."
Handbags.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We were already about 30 points down. It was, you know, my last desperate attempt.
And now he's come on your podcast.
Well,
and
yeah,
your
exactly.
Pants down in front of all the
listeners. You know, that was like 7 years ago.
Absolutely got it.
Yeah.
But now that was we're really interesting. Mates, so that's fine.
I mean, to be fair, I was like eating a burger, drinking. I was enjoying it. When Scott Riddle put in the hit, I was like, I'm happy what's happened here.
But that was great, and it'll be really interesting to see how the Scotland team get on this year. Should we have a look back at the Pro 14 results from the weekend? So let's start with Glasgow, 29-13 win against the Dragons. It's saying Jones 3 on the BBC.
Lee Jones
two
got
different
two.
Types, two different
Jones
types of Joneses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So two from Lee Jones, one from Hugh Jones, one from Alex Dunbar, and one from man of the match, Man Mountain, Ollie Kebble, with Hastings only popping over two conversions, so not a great night from the tee from him.
It was so windy.
I don't care.
He was 100% kicking until he missed his first conversion as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Right, for the season.
For the season, although he's not been doing that much kicking.
Didn't come here for Adam Hastings' PR, Alan.
That is fair.
All right. But what did you guys make of that? Alan, I know you watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just looking at the Dragons, I actually thought defence-wise, the first sort of 60 minutes, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Just in attack, they were absolutely dog shit. And just to show you how little they had in attack, their scrum half passed the ball 52 times. And their fly half passed it four times in the whole game.
What?
Four times?
Four times.
Four times. How ridiculous is that?
How many times did he kick it?
I don't know. But just to give you an indication, Fraser Brown passed the ball more times than the Dragons 10 in that whole game. How ridiculous is that?
Man, their playmakers, like, they're tight head props. So, you know, strategy.
But I think that just gives you an indication of, A, how much territory and possession Glasgow had and how much sort of how little the Dragons had in attack.
Mm.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. But, I mean, this was the big bounce back game, or it certainly should have been after the horrific soul destroying loss away to the Southern Kings. What does it sort of tell you about Glasgow? Who were the sort of key performers? And with one eye on the Autumn Internationals coming around the corner, how were the sort of Scotland players coming through?
So, really positively. So, Dunbar, kind of first proper game back.
Yep.
Nothing too flashy, but good in defence, great offload for one of Lee Jones's tries.
Very nice.
And just looked really solid. And actually is exactly the sort of player Glasgow needs going into Champions Cup. Looked exactly the sort of player they've been missing.
Yep.
And I think specifically, this was probably the first time that Hugh Jones looked like Hugh Jones for Glasgow, like in terms of Scotland Hugh Jones.
Do you think that's got something to do with the fact that he had Dunbar inside him?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just also just game time.
Yeah.
He's just been struggling with injuries the whole time with Glasgow. And there was kind of a few moments in the first half where he was kind of just getting outside his opposite man and was starting to make a few half breaks, putting Matawell into space. And I think Gregor Townsend will look at that game and will want those two to be stuck together for the next three Glasgow games before the Autumn Internationals.
What were those the stats flying around about Adam Hastings in the game?
Beat 11 defenders.
And that's the most ever since Opta have been doing the stats.
Of a 10.
over 10.
Only two players in the Pro 14 last year beat that, and one was Blair Kinghorn, and the other one was was it Waholo, the Cardiff Blues centre?
Waholo, yeah.
Waholo. So, yeah. I mean, Hastings does run with the ball a ridiculous amount of times.
What were you saying about Adam Hastings before? That he's just too loose.
He is too loose. He's worse than Russell. They have generally found the only fly half in the Northern Hemisphere who is looser than Finn Russell.
Do you think that, you know, dents his chances of being on the bench for Scotland in the autumn, because he is literally not an option if we need someone to close out a game? Or do you think you need to have Grieg on the bench as well so he can come on if it's...
Well, Grieg's starting.
We having Grieg starting?
Yeah, Grieg will start.
Grieg will start. With Hastings at 10 and Finn at 12.
Imagine you had like Price, Horn, Hastings, Russell.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Too much.
But look, he offers so much in attack. He's an unbelievable runner, and whilst he's not a big guy, he rides tackles out.
Yeah, he's so super strong.
He played a lot of games last year against your sort of Zebras and Kings. He obviously had a relatively okay game against Munster. Sorry, man of the match game against Munster. Played pretty well in this game. I just don't think we've seen him play behind a pack that's going backwards.
Yeah.
Or that's particularly under pressure.
So that Saracens game could be really interesting from that point of view.
Exactly.
Did you guys see you probably only need to see the highlights of the Saracens Bath game at the weekend.
They're pretty good, Saracens, aren't they?
They are quite good at rugby.
That's a record now for consecutive bonus point wins in the Premiership. 11
like
in a row.
So efficient.
Yeah, they're just Borg. So, so good. I mean, we'll come on to obviously doing a much bigger Champions Cup preview next week. But on what you've seen, 5 games into the season, does it change your mind when we said that we don't think Glasgow are going to get out of that group?
Currently, no. Well, I still think they got a chance of getting a second place finish.
Yeah.
I cannot envisage a world where they beat Saracens home or away.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Yeah.
I guess it's interesting. Like, I think, you know, we kind of gave Dave Rennie a little bit of slack last year because he didn't have his full preseason. He's almost had his full preseason now. And it doesn't feel at the moment like the team's improved that much.
No,
I feel that he's not had the opportunity to recruit maybe some of the players he wanted, but in terms of the excuse that we put forward a lot of times last year, and I don't think there's been any particular improvement in performance 5 games in.
I agree, and I think if you look at the front five, Xander Ferguson dropping out, I think that front five is not of that sort of top level European quality. I think it's Kebble and Fraser Brown, but now they're going to be packing down with Darcy Ray.
I think I kind of disagree with you, actually. I think 3 of the best players this season have been Kebble, Brown and Gray. I think Gray has actually stepped up some of his carrying this year. It's the back row that's been pretty poor.
Ryan Wilson with another random unpressured drop in midfield.
Yeah, and I think Gibbons is acting at a standard below he was at last year.
Yeah.
And again, with Ash and Ferguson, they're fine.
Yeah.
But they're not, you know, not playing like world class rugby.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit worried at what, you know, your Billies and your Jackson Rays could do in that respect.
Yeah, that is going to be something to behold in a couple of weeks' time. Right, back in Edinburgh, it's Friday night, and it was a bit of a thriller, but Edinburgh managed to sneak past Benetton Treviso, 31 points. To 30 tries from Matt Scott, big Doohan van der Merwe, Blair Kinghorn, and Dougie Fife with Simon Hickey. 4 from 4. Very nice. Very nice, Simon. Congratulations. I watched the vast majority of this game, and it was pretty mad. Edinburgh seemed fairly on top of it and then lost their mind a little bit.
Why'd you turn it off? Was the missus had enough?
I was cooking dinner. And she didn't want to watch it. There was a little bit of that. I can't remember what was on the TV, but I sort of had the phone in front of me, in front of the TV.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, you know, fully engaged
with
it.
That's all you can hope for sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a frustrating one. It just seemed as if whenever Edinburgh were going to put daylight between themselves and Benetton, they just let them back into the game. And fair play to Benetton. They play quite sort of untypical Italian rugby. They're chucking the ball around and getting a lot of joy in the wide channels.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense. If you look at, maybe they look at the Italian pack and think, sorry, they look at the Edinburgh pack and think, well, that's where the strengths are. It's the backs where they're a bit weaker.
Yeah. I thought it was a really, really enjoyable game. I mean, it's a bit weird coming out of a game and saying that Edinburgh backline is a positive and Edinburgh forwards are probably the negative.
Yeah.
Like, feel like the Edinburgh forwards didn't get, like, bullied, but they just...
The scrum wasn't great either.
Scrum wasn't great. And they weren't kind of dominating the contact area at all.
But the thing is, you know, it is encouraging the fact that Edinburgh, the backline, were looking really sharp.
Yeah.
And like finally actually firing. And I think we've been critical of Duncan Hodge in the past and just not quite seeing what his input is. But two set piece tries, you know, you've got to give him quite a lot of credit. And
yeah.
The fact that that's coming through, you think, right, well, okay. Eventually, the forwards are okay. You don't have to worry too much about them. It's just, you know, putting the two together. You think.
So are you in agreement that Chris Dean is the best 13 in the Northern Hemisphere?
Maybe he's the glue that Edinburgh needs.
He's played well.
He is. He's a good player. I'm saying it.
He is. He's very decent. I mean, the set.
I had high hopes for Bennett, but yeah, with Bennett out.
With Bennett out, he's taking that opportunity.
Yeah, and I think Blair Kinghorn just continues to show why we're not that bothered about Hogg being out for at least some of the Ottoman
matches. It's less of an issue than maybe it would have been even a year ago, 2 years ago.
And probably why he'll probably start in the wing in the Six Nations if Hogg is
fit. Hogg comes back,
I think so.
Yeah. I think Townsend's showing that's something that he wants to see.
Yeah.
He's tried it out and it went well against Ireland, in my opinion, even though we lost it. And then,
yeah, definitely. And he's been strong since, so...
Yeah, I mean, every week in the Pro 14, he's consistently one of the best players on the park. Like, he is really, really good.
Do you see the stat that Bill Matta carried the ball 28 times?
I've got it. I've got it in front of me. Yeah, it is the most that anyone has ever carried in the Pro 14 since 2010, since stats began with Opto,
since the beginning of time.
Records began. No one has carried the ball.
That's incredible.
He's an amazing player, and that back row is with him and Bradbury and Watson and the options that Edinburgh have got there. It's really, really tasty with Jamie Ritchie as well. Obviously, John Barkley to come back. They're absolutely spoilt for choice.
Was Hamilton playing again?
No, he wasn't. Bradbury, Watson, and Matta.
Mm, okay.
Although Matta doesn't really like tackling. He's kind of he doesn't love it. He's kind of like, I'm okay with just running the ball at
but
people.
I mean, it's not as if he's mucking around, is he? Like 28 carries, he's putting in a shift. He's getting himself up off the deck.
I agree.
But I
just think if you've got him and Bradbury both on who love carrying, you got to be like some pack. It's like all you need to do all day is hit rucks.
Kind of feels that Edinburgh don't like tackling that much, though. They are shipping a lot of points.
Yeah.
Mm.
They shipped 30 plus to Leinster, shipped 30, obviously they won, but they shipped 30 to Benetton.
High 20s to Ulster.
High 20s 30, to Ulster. 30. Lost in the last kick of the game. It was very tight against the Ospreys first game of the season. They're conceding a hell of a lot of points. I mean,
Cockerell came out afterwards and was like, that was his main talking point. The tackle rate was unacceptable.
But it's the polar opposite to what I thought Edinburgh would be like this year.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Where I thought they would be great defence and would be able to close out games. And what's happened is they've got terrible defence and can't close out games, which is just truly a very strange phenomenon.
Mm. That's really annoying. Well, why don't we have a quick look ahead to what's going on with what the pro teams are up to this weekend. It's animal themed. We've got Edinburgh against the Cheetahs and Glasgow against Zebra on Friday night.
Big very safari happy. Night.
Safari night. That is very exciting.
I mean, someone's definitely at a marketing meeting put out that idea.
Safari night.
That's going to be all over like the Scottish Rugby Twitter tomorrow. It's going to be Scottish Rugby Safari night. What's everyone wearing to Safari night? How exciting. Let's start with Edinburgh against the Cheetahs. Friday night in the Big Bowl in Murrayfield.
Super high scoring.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous. No one's turning up to defend.
Yeah. I think Edinburgh will win 43 points to 37.
I could see that.
I literally could see that. Yeah. An
80-point thriller.
Yeah.
Fine, bonus point win.
Yeah, take bonus it. Point win. That's all you got to take.
I think they'll get a bonus point win.
I think they'll get a bonus point win as well. I think Cheetahs have been poor at home, which is when you expect them to be good.
Ran Blues close this week, yeah. Winning yeah. up until about 75th yeah. minute. And
they sort of got nothing to lose as well, I feel, on these away trips. And then they just sort of play without any pressure and do yeah. okay. But no, I think Edinburgh have enough.
I think they'll win, but boatload of meat pies.
Boatload sounds of good. Meat pies. And then Glasgow versus Ebor, that's got to be 5 points, right?
Yeah, surely nothing else.
Yeah, yes.
Friday night at Scotstoun against Ebor, you can't be losing that. If you're Dave Rennie, though, are you picking your full-strength team? Or are you leaving them cotton-wooled for Saracens?
I reckon you got to keep Hastings, Dunbar and Jones. Just keep those three working together. Because I think last week was the first time they've ever played together as a three.
Yeah.
And if you're going to... They've got to start against Saracens.
You've got to keep some senior guys in the pack as well. Because I don't think Greg Pearson is ever going to play for Glasgow again.
I don't think he will.
You know... You can't put him in instead of Gray, for example.
Well, they're a little bit light on second rows if Big Brian goes away.
Yeah.
Well, they had Andrew Davidson on the bench.
Andrew Davidson was on the bench.
He was quite good when he came on.
I don't think they'll change it that much. I think they might take out someone like Kebble. Maybe give Gibbons.
I think if they had hosed the Southern Kings as they were meant to,
yeah.
they would have run the Shags against against Zebre.
Yeah.
But I think they need game time.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's worthwhile. I'm a little bit nervous about, like, Dunbar just seems he's had so many niggling little injuries. I know he's got to come through them.
I'm always worried about that.
I'm really worried about him getting injured.
No, I know what you mean. Interesting thing from the weekend I saw, last weekend was the first time Glasgow didn't sell out for about 2 years.
Mm.
Ooh.
I do think that, though, it was a Saturday night game at Scotstoun, and everyone just has Friday night, Scotstoun as, that's the night they play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think actually that's probably the main reason rather than this kind of like a loss of interest in Glasgow. Mm. But yeah, they'll pump them. Don't worry.
Am I not worrying then? Am I not worrying? That's good. Well, we'll be back to dissect that next week and to preview the Champions Cup as it comes. Scots abroad? Should we have a quick look through?
Yeah, let's quickly look at it. We didn't talk about probably the biggest performance from last week, Donkey Weir.
I
26 points or something against, maybe not that much.
22, I think.
22
it was.
Points at Worcester in their pretty incredible victory away at Leicester, including two tries. And Worcester looking good in attack.
When tries, it wasn't like he broke the line.
Mate, he was there. He was in support.
What? Obviously, that, and then he was rested last weekend against Exeter, rested all the way to the back pages of the Sunday Times in a nice interview. Yeah. Is there a PR campaign to get Donkey Weir back in the Scotland squad?
I think we're heading it, aren't we?
I believe we are.
I don't know. I think who, with Laidlaw, Hastings kind of coming up, it doesn't feel like you need the pudding right now. I would rather he spent the autumn playing for Worcester and just getting more games under his belt.
Yeah, I think you're probably, if you look, you've got Finn, Hastings, and then
Pete Horn.
I would rather the pudding than Horn.
I'd rather the pudding than Horn at 10.
And I reckon you'll get into
and I'd rather have Duncan Weir than Rui Jackson at 10. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the squad.
But I think with Russell in the squad, you've got enough cover that if he goes down, it's fine. I think if Russell was to go down, that's tight.
Yes.
The pudding's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll be in the wider squad. I think you'll go to the training camps in St. Andrews and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you will.
Whether he gets into like the smaller squad if they cut it.
Yeah.
I think he will come back. And it is great to see him playing good rugby again.
Do you know what I saw this week, which I hadn't realised, is they redid the St. Andrews pitch, so it was the exact same dimensions as Murrayfield.
Did they?
Yeah. So they could train on a pitch the exact same size as Murrayfield when they got up to St. Andrews.
I quite like that.
Simple. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's quite smart.
Yeah.
That's very like marginal gains, Team Sky, Dave Brailsford.
I like it. That's Scott Johnson. That's where he adds his 300k a year. Don't worry.
Marginal gains, Scott Johnson.
A few others. So David Denton's still playing pretty well for Leicester.
He looks good.
Yeah, I think he got their player of the month for the first month of the season.
I think he's been solid. I think it's only going to be good for his game that he's getting a long string of... Yep. lots of minutes in very big attritional games.
I'd rather see him at 8 than 6.
Yeah.
Just so he can get used to that, because I don't see him as anything else for Scotland, but it's good to see.
You getting him into a Scotland pack anytime soon?
On the bench?
I think he offers something off the bench, 20 minutes off the bench from him.
I think Blade Thompson would add more options off the bench than a Dave Denton or a Strauss.
You're skipping us ahead on Scots Abroad, but I know. Sam Mandago-Klein and not yet named in any Scotland squad
the
at
Blade
all,
Runner.
Blade Thompson, but expecting to see him in the November.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big old unit, isn't he?
He's a big boy, isn't he?
And he's playing well in a Scots, starting for a Scots team.
I'd like to see him at 6 against Fiji.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'd be loose for Fiji.
With Barkley out,
yeah.
I think he's got to be in that squad. I would like to see a back three of the back row of Fiji of Blade Thompson, Bradbury, and Hamish Watson.
Ooh.
That is what I would like to
see. It's a really cool back row.
It is a cool back row.
That's pretty cool.
And there's rumours that Hardy was potentially going to go to the Scarlets.
Interesting.
This week.
Fair play.
James Davis is injured for a lot of the season.
That would be a very good move for him.
I didn't actually see much of the highlights. Was Hidalgo Klein playing?
He set up a nice little try for Jonathan Davies. Service looked pretty slick. So I don't know if he'll start when Gareth Davies is back, but
yeah,
he seems to be playing as well as he can. Finn Russell was a lovely little offload.
Oh,
Racing.
He's looking really good down in France.
He's enjoying himself, isn't he?
I mean, he did basically miss the tackle for Stade Francais' try. He sort of fell over as well in the process.
He bought the dummy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he was sold that easily.
He's having a great time. Great romance with Simon Zebo growing there.
Yeah. No, I like it.
The two English speakers.
Yeah.
The basis of their friendship.
Did you see what Zebo said there? He said that he can understand Finn Russell when he's speaking French than when he's speaking in his normal accent.
Yeah, I did see that. Which
I really want to see Finn try and do a press conference in French just to see how much he tries to put on a French accent, if any.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's a.
What about Greg Laidlaw?
He was on the bench for Clermont.
Yeah,
and they
power back.
They pumped.
They pumped him on. Yeah. They've been kind of like rotating para and Laidlaw. Why not? So
yeah,
both getting on a bit.
And Clermont seem to mean business this year.
Yeah, doing really well. They look strong.
They are a serious.
Just looking like the Clermont Montpellier squads, and they're like an absolute
terrifying
joke.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like Finn Russell's stint in France is starting better than I thought it would.
I agree.
Same.
Yeah.
Because Racing has still been quite inconsistent, but he seems to sort of be playing pretty well despite their be more good than bad, but
I know. It's and I think especially having Pat Lambie injured. It's given him that freedom.
He's definitely played more rugby than I thought he would in the first sort of six rounds of the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, he's playing loads and loads, which is good, as long as he stays fit, because if he gets injured, we are all fucked. On that happy note, we will end it, guys. We will come back to you next week to review the weekend's games and also look ahead to the first round of the Champions Cup.
Can I say one thing? My point around the Dragons 10 only chucking 4 passes. He was subbed off after 26 minutes.
Oh my god.
You save your blushes.
It's actually quite good that we've corrected an error.
I know,
on air.
I know.
Usually people just point them out to us.
It is right at the end of the episode though.
I know.
So
I realized this when I looked at ESPN stats about 10 minutes ago, and I was like, god, I can't believe it's 4 passes. Scrolled down, I was like, replacement 10 had made like 10 passes. I was like, okay.
It's actually going to be a really nice test for people who follow us and comment on us a lot as to whether they've gotten to this point. Because if they come at you with some noise, we know that they've cut off.
Yes.
But please do keep chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Get into the emails. We love reading out your correspondence. We're going to do that at the start of every episode now, and that is thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Get onto iTunes, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and give us we'll read those out as well. We love hearing from you, and we will see you next week, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
See ya.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.